At the Movies with CJ Johnson.
And joining us for his regular look at film and TV is CJ Johnson. CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you very much, Philip.
Well, tonight we've got Zombieland and Maiden. Let's start with Zombieland, shall we?
Yeah, Zombieland Double Tap. This is the sequel that you've always wanted to Zombieland.
Right.
Exactly. I was sitting in a cinema waiting for something else a few months ago, and this trailer appeared for Zombieland Double Tap. And it just totally, it really messed with my mind because I thought, hold on, that's right. I remember seeing the original Zombieland, and it felt like a long time ago. As it turns out, it was 10 years ago. And I remember it being fine and kind of funny and kind of quirky. It was right when zombies were still all the rage. This is 10 years ago, and it was a zombie comedy, so it was a bit fresh, and it had a funny turn by Bill Murray, because Bill Murray plays Bill Murray, and he gets turned into a zombie during it, and then he plays zombie Bill Murray. But the whole funny joke is that he's still kind of very much Bill Murray, but just a zombie Bill Murray. And it had a very cool cast. It had Emma Stone and Woody Harrelson, and it had the young Abigail Breslin, who was only 9 years old at the time, and it had Jesse Eisenberg, and all of them were kind of indie darlings. Woody Harrelson was obviously more than that, but they were all sort of indie darlings, independent actors, and they were all very cool, and it was like this cool thing, and I remember it being cool, but not more than that, and it certainly hadn't gone down in my mind anyway as a classic. And so when I had the experience of seeing the trailer a few months ago, I had that really strange out of body, out of mind experience of thinking, like, have I missed a part of the cultural conversation? Has Zombieland become a classic? And I just missed it. Somehow, being a film critic, I missed the fact that Zombieland is a classic, and therefore everyone has been clamoring for Zombieland 2. And it really confused me, and I don't think they have. I don't know how this movie sort of came into existence. I broached it with a class of my students earlier this morning, and one student of mine, who was a 22-year-old, said that, yes, he has discovered Zombieland on home video, you know, as an at-home experience, because he would have been 12 when it came out. So he's discovered it as a home experience sometime in the last 10 years, and he loves it, and he's watched it multiple times, and he can quote it. So for him, it is kind of a modern classic. So maybe it's one of these films who's attracted a cult following outside of the mainstream among people, because this film is doing great numbers. So this film is already on target to make way more than the original ever made. So it's one of these weird, quirky, idiosyncratic cases of the sequel that nobody wanted, nobody needed, has come along. Unfortunately,
is it something about zombie movies? I mean, this genre, which I cannot understand, and understand it at all, but they seem to come out at regular intervals.
I know. I'm with you too.
It's a one idea art form.
And why? But why? It's such a boring idea. I mean, literally the most boring monsters. They're not intelligent.
No.
They're dead.
They walk slowly.
They walk slowly. They want to eat brains. And I guess, I don't know, I guess it gives certain filmmakers the chance to delight in their destruction. And this film and the first one certainly did. This is a comedy. It's got to be said. This is a flat out
comedy. You mean
because
they're utterly without sympathy, the zombies.
And you can destroy them at will, and you can show their brains being blown apart. And the idea is that you're not actually killing human beings, so it doesn't carry that weight. But, you know, they still are human beings. And actually, I had a problem with this film because the characters in this film, who are all the good guys, they take such glee out of destroying the zombies. But you've got to remember that the zombies were their mothers and aunts and brothers and sisters and fathers and daughters before they became zombies. They are simply just dead people who've come back to life. So I don't know. Anyway.
Yes, I agree. Anyway.
So regardless of what I think, Zombieland Double Tap comes out 10 years later and it reassembles the cast. And the funniest thing about the trailer was...
Without Bill Murray.
Although, well, we'll get to Bill Murray. But they say in the trailer, and this is great because over the last 10 years, this has happened. And so they now can say this in the trailer. Academy Award nominee Woody Harrelson, Academy Award winner Emma Stone, Academy Award nominee Jesse Eisenberg, Academy Award nominee Abigail Breslin, who was nominated for, I guess, Little Miss Sunshine or whatever, in Zombieland, Double Tap. So it's got these four Academy Award nominated actors in this silly zombie movie.
Is the movie itself any good?
No. It is. It should not have been made. It tries desperately to be funny, and it is simply not. And it's one of the cases of one of those films where the cast is obviously having a really good time, but we're not. Mm. It's overwritten. All of the lines sound like smarmy, self-conscious, self-congratulatory laugh lines on the page, but these really good actors, and I tell you, Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg are doing everything they can to give these lines energy and spin, and they just can't, and they fall flat. And I saw it with a real audience, a public audience on Sunday evening, and there were a lot of people in there. It was a full audience. They were ready to have a good time, and they weren't laughing very much at all. It's badly written and doesn't need to exist.
Here we go.
The hell was that? He must have followed you.
Oh, God, those are T-800s. Or at the very least, T-700s.
There actually was no T-700.
Yeah, T-800's the first model.
This is great, having two of you.
Okay, time to nut up or shut up.
That sounds very 2009. Okay, we got this.
Ho! You don't send a boy to do a man's job. We brought him here. We'll take care of it.
Yeah, you know what? Have at him.
Hasta la vista, baby. Terminator 2. Remember?
Woo!
Ready, buddy?
He's still cool.
Woo! Yeah! Fuck these bullets! Get you some!
Does anybody else find those two uniquely annoying?
Uniquely? No.
I don't love their chances.
Yeah, and they ignored Rule 52. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
See, it's all very self-satisfied. You heard someone say to the other one, that's very 2009, and then Emma Stone laughs because the joke is that that's when the first movie's from. So it's just a bit smug.
It's funny, isn't it, how... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Bill Murray is in it. He's at the very end, so you've got to wait till the very end. They show a couple of credits, and then they do. It's not a post-credit sequence because they were afraid that everyone would leave. So they just show a credit or two, and then there's a long sequence with Bill Murray. And I guess the idea is that Bill Murray is inherently so funny, and that he's so postmodern now that you're just meant to find the very sight of him funny. And so there's this 5-minute scene with him at the end, and seriously, nobody in the theater laughed once, and it was meant for laughs. Mm. So, yeah.
It's funny, so many good projects bite the dust and things like this get up. Anyway, now let's talk about Maiden, the story of Tracy Edwards, a 24-year-old cook who becomes the captain of the first ever female crew to enter the Whitbread Round the World Yacht Race.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Tracy Edwards?
Nothing.
Do you know anything about the Whitbread?
Yes, I do.
Right.
I know about the race.
Yeah. The Whitbread is this round the world yacht race that, I don't know, I guess it started maybe in the 70s?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure.
Maybe later even.
Maybe later. It required certainly the kind of technology for the boats that they could safely do this.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not done in one go, but it's done in legs, but they're pretty grueling legs.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the most grueling leg basically goes really close to the South Pole and ends up in Perth. I think it's Uruguay to Perth. It's
across the Southern Ocean.
Yeah. So it's done in about 3 or 4 legs, and some of the legs are 6 weeks at a time. I mean, it's long. It takes 9 months. It's a big race. And back in the 80s, sailing was still a total man's game. Total, total, total. And a lovely young English woman named Tracy Edwards, whose mother was a sports person and whose father was a sort of entrepreneur, inventor type guy. And so therefore came from these two parents who were both like, you can do it type people, decided that she was interested in the idea of seeing this thing from the inside. And so she became a chef on the cook. On a boat, and I believe when she became a cook on that boat, she was the only female crew member in the entire Whitbread. Okay. You know, so you've got to figure there's, I don't know, 8 crew or something per boat, and there's a lot of boats, and she was the only crew member, and she was a cook. Well, it gave her the inspiration to form, there's 3 years between Whitbreads, so it gave her the inspiration to form an all-female crew and enter the next Whitbread as the skipper. So she's a self-taught skipper who put together her own crew, her own boat, her own sponsorship, her own thing, and made it happen, and then entered the Whitbread in 1989 with an all-female crew. And it was the first time there was, well, obviously it was the first time there was an all-female crew, and then they went and did it. And there were all sorts of people wondering, you know, they were taking book on how quickly they would drop out of the race. And they weren't just thinking that they weren't going to make it very far because, you know, physical this or stamina that. You know, they were saying things like, well, they're women, so they're all going to fight amongst themselves. I mean, there's all this stuff. And there's newspaper reports that there's articles extant from the time. They could just show you these newspapers and the way that women were talked about only back in 1989. I was alive. I wasn't aware at the time just how sexist the world still was and how far we have come. Anyway, so it's a documentary about Tracy Edwards and her crew, and it is easily the best feature-length documentary cinema release that I've seen this year. It is absolutely thrilling. Like all good documentaries, you don't need to like sailing. You don't need to know anything about sailing because it's not about sailing. Like all good documentaries, it's about people. Mm-hmm. And this Tracy Edwards and the women she puts together and their guts and their grit and their determination is just something to behold. And also, there's a lot of footage from the time. There's all sorts of news footage.
Do they try and recreate the race?
They don't recreate the race at all. They don't need to because two of Tracy's crew members shot on the boat.
Okay, so they can use that.
Yeah, with video cameras. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of the other boats were all shooting their own footage on their boats. So there's all sorts of actual contemporary footage from the boat itself. No. So you've got shots of them really skimming close to the South Pole, and it's like frozen. Like the ropes are frozen. It's frozen underneath their feet. It's snowing or it's hailing. They're like covered from head to toe in clothes, and they're sailing. Mm. I mean, I had no idea. I don't know how anyone does it. It's astonishing, the endurance and the misery. And it's also, obviously, you know, an unbelievably inspiring girl power film. I'm not going to spoil anything about what goes on in the race, but it's just great and wonderful and goosebumpy and all of that. But there's a lot of material for the film to use because they've got footage from on board the boat and other boats, and they've got a lot of news footage at the time. Sailing was peaking because, of course, of what the America's Cup. So sailing was having a moment, and the Whitbread was, you know, I guess there was the America's Cup on the one hand and there was Whitbread on the other. And because the Whitbread is, I suppose, endurance, and the America's Cup, they're two very different type of races, but they're the two most famous races and the two biggest races. And so there was a lot of interest in it. So besides a lot of news footage, they've got just a lot of reporters who they're able to interview and a lot of newspaper contemporaneous stuff. And the way the film is put together and edited and presented, it is thrilling. It is exciting. It is nerve-wracking. You really get you're gripping your seat.
Mm. Fantastic. All right, Maiden, it's called. So, some stars. So you think, let's start with Maiden. Do you think that
four stars.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's in the cinemas. Go see it in the cinemas because it's a thrilling big screen event.
Okay.
The waves that they're encountering.
Oof. And I suspect Zombieland's not going to get many stars.
It gets two stars because the cast are giving it their all and they're nice, entertaining cast members, but it's not worth seeing.
Thanks, CJ.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.